Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, pet emergencies, how to prevent them and how to respond. We'll start with Shayna Melliker's tips to prevent common pet emergencies. It's scary to consider that the unthinkable, poisoning, heat stroke, and attack by another animal could happen to our beloved pets. But if there was something you could do to lower your pet's chance of having one of these emergencies, would you do it? We're sure you would, especially if you could prepare yourself by knowing how to respond. Here are tips on helping prevent four common emergencies that veterinarians treat pets for. The first is heat stroke. We can't say enough about the dangers of heat stroke in dogs. One of the most common misconceptions is that it affects only canines left in cars. But if you're outside exercising in hot weather, your dog runs the same risk of heat stroke, and maybe even more so. Know the signs: heavy panting, loud breathing, vomiting, disorientation, and collapse, among others. And do what you can to lower the risk for your dog. Keep walk short, bring water, and exercise before the sun comes up or after it sets. Next is attacks by other animals. Fights and attacks by other animals can happen so quickly. One second everything seems fine, and then you're rushing to the veterinary emergency room. Although not all situations can be prevented, understanding your cat or dog's body language is one of the keys to avoiding conflict. For cats, it's important to prevent them from roaming the outdoors, where they're more likely to get into fights, territorial or otherwise. For dogs, many attacks happen at the dog park or where lots of canines are off-leash. Scope out the local dog park for safety before you let your dog in, and always be attentive to how your dog is interacting with others. Poisoning. You know that dogs can't eat chocolate and to not keep lilies around the house if you have cats, but pet poison risks go way beyond those too. Many other common household items can poison cats and dogs. Batteries, laundry detergents, grapes, tobacco, and e-cigarettes, unbaked bread dough. The list goes on forever. Run a safety check to really get a handle on what your pet could gain access to. Ask yourself, are my prescription medications somewhere that my cat could knock over the bottle and eat them? Could my dog rummage through a purse on the coffee table and steal any sugar-free gum that contains xylitol? Review our list of pet poisons and really make an effort to eliminate your pet's potential access to anything on it. And choking. You may be tempted to slip your begging dog a spare bone from your most recent culinary exploit, but we're here to tell you, please don't. Any bone, whether it's from chicken, beef, pork, fish, or another source, can cause choking, broken teeth, tongue and gum injuries, and much more. Bones also splinter, and the pieces can puncture parts of your dog's digestive tract, like his esophagus, stomach, and intestines. Another big choking hazard is loose pieces from destroyed toys. This could be anything from stuffing that your dog eats while dissecting a plush toy to a little bell or feather that falls off a cat toy. So how do you help avoid this? Check often to make sure your pet's toys are in good condition with no rogue pieces threatening to fall off. And don't leave him unsupervised with any toy that could be destroyed. Next, 10 cat emergencies to never treat at home. In an emergency, pet owners frequently do more harm than good by attempting to treat their cat's injuries themselves. In almost every emergency situation, your first step should be to contact your vet. Do not waste time checking the internet for advice. If your cat is injured, unconscious, bleeding, or having difficulty breathing, get him to the nearest veterinarian as soon as possible. What constitutes an emergency? Emergency situations may include, but are not limited to, the following. Inability to urinate. If your cat repeatedly strains to urinate, yowls when he's in the litter box, or urinates small, possibly bloody, amounts outside of the litter box, he may have a urinary blockage. This condition, more common in male cats, is a medical emergency and requires immediate veterinary attention. Difficulty breathing. Cats who are struggling for breath often extend their necks, position their elbows away from their body, or use their abdominal muscles to help them breathe. There may be audible breathing noises, such as wheezes. Unlike dogs, it is never normal for a cat to pant or breathe when his mouth is open. In these cases, call your veterinarian, and if you must transport your cat to the clinic, it is important to handle him gently and minimize his stress as much as possible during the trip. Trauma. It is common for outdoor cats or even indoor cats who sneak outdoors to experience trauma, such as being hit by a car. They may come home with obvious signs like limping or abrasions, or less obvious signs such as shredded nails. Even if your cat appears to be relatively normal, if you suspect that something may have happened, it's important to have him checked by a veterinarian to make sure he isn't suffering from internal injuries. Bleeding. Consider wounds an emergency, especially if they are actively bleeding or are extremely deep or large, or if they open to the chest cavity, abdominal cavity, or head. Do not remove impaled objects. Doing so can cause more damage or blood loss. Even bite wounds should be seen by a veterinarian to make sure they're properly cleaned and evaluated. Persistent vomiting and/or diarrhea. While it's not uncommon for cats to vomit periodically, vomiting several times a day may be a sign of a serious problem, such as ingestion of a string or foreign body. This condition may require emergency surgery, so you don't want to take wait-and-see approach. And because cats can become dehydrated quickly when experiencing vomiting or diarrhea, it's always best to seek veterinary advice early. Poison ingestion. The signs can vary depending on the toxin, but if you suspect that your cat has eaten anything like Easter lilies or antifreeze, get to your veterinarian as soon as possible. You can also consult ASPCA Animal Poison Control or the Pet Poison Helpline. You should not attempt to make your cat vomit on your own. Limb fractures. Lameness associated with extreme pain, swelling, or deformation of the affected leg, or grinding or popping sounds could indicate a break or fracture or other serious problem. Attempts to immobilize fractures with splints tend to make things worse, so it's best to simply keep the cat still and head to your veterinarian right away. Seizures. These may affect just one area of the body or be more generalized. The cat may lose urinary and/or fecal control. If the seizure is over in a few minutes, contact your veterinarian for advice. Seizures that last more than 5 minutes require immediate veterinary attention. Sudden loss of mobility in the hind limbs. In some cases, the rear paw pads may feel cooler or can appear blue-gray in color compared to the front paw pads. This can be extremely painful for cats, and it calls for a trip to the veterinarian ASAP. Loss of appetite. Although dogs can go for a day or two without eating, cats really shouldn't. When their body is deprived of food, cats can develop a condition called hepatic lipidosis or fatty liver disease, which can be extremely serious. If your cat hasn't shown any interest in food for days, schedule a veterinary appointment. Keep a first aid kit handy. When planning for an emergency, the most important items to have on hand are the phone numbers for your regular veterinary clinic, the nearest emergency veterinary clinic, and poison control center. Never attempt to treat your cat yourself without first discussing the situation with a veterinarian. Should your veterinarian advise immediate on-site treatment, which she will talk you through over the phone, it can be helpful to have a first aid kit at the ready. Your first aid kit should include the following: a rectal thermometer, The normal temperature for CAT is 100.5 to 102.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Petroleum jelly, you can use this to lubricate the rectal thermometer. Scissors with rounded ends. Tweezers, sterile gauze pads and rolls. Self-adhesive bandage, such as vet wrap. Sterile saline solution. Instant cold compress or ice pack. An eyedropper. Over-the-counter antiseptic ointment, a pen light, towel, disposable gloves, and a styptic powder. And this was from Vet Street. From Lisa Granshaw, proper pet waste disposal, how to protect people and the environment. Some of the information in this article might surprise you. How often have you almost stepped in or actually stepped in dog poop that was left on the ground? Pet waste that isn't properly disposed of isn't just a hazard waiting to happen to your favorite pair of shoes, and it doesn't just disappear unless you have a friendly neighborhood pet waste disposal person. The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, considers pet waste a non-point source pollutant. This type of pollution is caused by runoff from rainfall or snowmelt moving over the ground, picking up the pollutant and depositing it into natural bodies of water and underground drinking water. Herbicides and insecticides are found in the same category. When pet waste is left on the ground, it can have a devastating impact on lawns and, more important, on the larger environment as well. It also poses a threat to people and other animals. Human hazards. Two of the greatest dangers of unattended pet waste are the parasites and bacteria found inside it. Roundworm eggs last for years, and because of this, dog waste should not go in compost that will end up as vegetable garden fertilizers. Hookworms are a concern in sandy areas where people are on the beach or barefoot in parks and playgrounds, since these worms will migrate under the skin, causing scars, says Steve B. Thompson, DVM, DAB, VP, Clinical Associate Professor at Purdue University's College of Veterinary Medicine and Director of the Pet Wellness Clinic at Purdue. These two worms are the primary reason for pooper scooper laws at beaches and public parks. Other bacteria and parasites that can survive in dog and cat waste include tapeworms, salmonella, giardia, and E. coli. Cat feces can also contain Toxoplasma gondii, which can lead to the disease toxoplasmosis. If waste is not picked up, people and pets are at risk for being infected or reinfected with these parasites. Pets who walk through your house after being in an area with unattended waste can also increase your exposure to these dangers because they may track that waste into your home. For the same reason, children who play outside in areas frequented by dogs or cats should also always wash their hands afterward just in case they come in contact with pet feces. Environmental effects. Although waste that gets into the water can spread these parasites and bacteria, waste's high concentrations of nutrients such as nitrogen and phosphorus can also harm aquatic ecosystems. It can contribute to the nutrient pollution that causes algal blooms, which kill aquatic life and plants and can make people and pets sick. According to the EPA, 2 to 3 days of droppings from a population of 100 dogs contribute enough bacteria, nitrogen, and phosphorus to temporarily close a bay to swimming and shellfishing. While some people think pet waste acts as a good fertilizer because of these nutrients, leaving waste on your lawn can have the opposite effect, causing lawn burn and killing grass. From National Geographic, how do dogs talk with their tails? For starters, wagging isn't always a sign of friendliness. Nothing is more of a telltale sign of happiness than, well, a dog's wagging tail. It's a main method of communication for man's best friend, but what about dogs without tails? A reader asked. So we asked dog expert Monique Udell if a pet who is tailless due to breed, accident, or cosmetic procedure has trouble communicating with other dogs or humans. It definitely does impact their communication, says Udell, founder of the Canine Cognition and Behavior Lab at the University of Florida in Gainesville. For instance, dogs with crop tails or breeds with short curly tails like pugs don't have the range of expression that a dog with a long tail has, Udell noted. But luckily, canines can compensate with other body parts to show their emotions. Dogs cover their genital area with their tails if they're not ready to trust another dog. That's because dogs gain information about another dog by sniffing scent glands in their anal area. So allowing that area to be exposed is a measure of trust. Tucking the tail in that situation is a way to say, I'm nervous here, I don't really want to have this interaction, like a human crossing their arms and shifting away. Then there are wags. Not all wags are created equal, Udell says, and they don't all mean friendliness. A relaxed tail with an enthusiastic or circular wag is friendly or playful. A slow, controlled wag where the body is more tense isn't friendly and signals back off to humans or other dogs. Luckily, tail-impaired dogs have a fallback strategy in hackles, stiff hairs that go from a dog's neck all the way to its tail. Udell says they're extremely informative. Raised hackles are thought to indicate aggression, but actually they convey various kinds of arousal, including aggression, fear, or excitement, she said. When my dog was a puppy, her hackles would go up when we got her a new toy because she was so excited, Udell says. Generations of being selectively bred for physical appearance has hampered the hackles of some dogs, though. Poodles and Afghan hounds, bred for their dramatically beautiful coats, can still raise their hackles, but they may be obscured by the heaviness of their coats. It's common in domestic dogs and in breeds that have been modified that sometimes their signals don't match their behavior, and even people trained to work with dogs can be confused. Facial expressions are also a dog-to-dog signal, and different breeds control those expressions differently. For instance, bared teeth can signal aggression. Again, though, some breeds send mixed signals. Bulldogs are famously bred to have underbites, which means their teeth are showing pretty much all the time. Those dogs tend to look angrier, and it may be because their lips can't cover their teeth, which may influence how other dogs perceive them. But there's another way to signal anger, pulling back the ears, she added. Because dogs are so diverse, familiarizing yourself with the communication styles of your dog's breed can tell you volumes. Dogs watch their humans all day, and their observations make them much more able to be responsive to us as individuals, Udell says. If we did the same thing with our dogs, we would learn a lot of interesting things. From Animal Planet, could your pet benefit from a relaxing pet massage? Whether you're looking for stress relief, physical therapy, a little pampering, or all of the above, a good massage can really hit the spot. But have you ever considered how the practice might benefit animals as well? It's one of the latest trends to infiltrate the pet industry, and even Hollywood has taken notice. But pet massage isn't just a fad for the rich and famous. To indulge in, any pet owner can give it a try. Here are some insights from the experts to help you get started, including the potential benefits and risks, top techniques, do's and don'ts, and other tricks of the trade. Understanding the benefits. There are many benefits associated with pet massage, including just generally enhancing an animal's quality of life. More specifically, explains Jonathan Ruttinger, president of the International Association of Animal Massage and Body Work, or IAAMB. Massage helps increase animal flexibility, improves blood and lymph circulation, helps maintain balance, and also promotes a good appetite and sound naps. According to Lola Michelin, director of education at the Northwest School of Animal Massage in Portland, Oregon, the list of potential advantages goes on. Just like in humans, massage helps to relieve pets' muscle tension, stiffness, and pain, she said. It can also help to improve metabolism in overweight animals, relieve nervous tension in hyperactive animals, and support the immune system by enhancing circulation of the blood and lymph fluids. Both Michelin and Ruttinger maintain that most animals enjoy a pet massage, especially those that are handled regularly and well socialized. However, dogs, cats, and horses are among the most common pet massage clients. Knowing the risks. During a pet massage, risks to animals can be kept to a minimum if they're in the hands of a trained professional who has been educated on the correct amount of pressure to apply, as well as the proper way to move joints. Michelin also cautions that there are some situations where massage should not be used. For example, when a pet has a fever, systemic infection, or certain heart conditions. For the practitioner, on the other hand, the risks can run deeper. Like any work with animals, there is always the chance of getting stepped on or bitten, says Michelin. Ruttinger agrees, adding, if a dog is hurting or not in the mood for body work, or if the dog is dangerous, snapping and biting may happen. This is uncommon when the practitioner understands and incorporates animal behavior, signs, and signals into the session. Techniques and frequency. As with people, massages, there are a number of different techniques used in pet massage, including Swedish, a deep tissue approach, sports focused on the flexibility and injury prevention, and hydrotherapies, which incorporate the use of water. Ruttinger also teaches a method he refers to as still holding, which involves holding a dog but keeping the hands very still to detect tiny muscle twitches and spasms. This helps him to closely observe what's happening within the canine's body. Most pet massage practitioners recommend scheduling pets for monthly treatments to maintain health, relaxation, and overall well-being. Michelin massages performance animals such as show dogs and racehorses more frequently, sometimes once a week or immediately before and after a given event. However, it is possible to get too much of a good thing. Ruttinger cautions against daily massages and recommends giving your pet a full 48-hour rest between sessions. This gives a pet's tissue time to regenerate. If you do make the decision to enlist your pet in massage therapy, there are a number of ways to find a professional masseuse, including online searches or consulting your vet. Even with a referral, though, there are certain questions that you should always ask before signing your pet up for treatment. Here are just a few things to ask a potential pet masseuse. What kind of training have you had? How long have you been in practice? Do you carry liability insurance? Do you specialize in any particular type of massage or breeds? Can you provide testimonials from other clients? And are you a member of any professional animal massage organizations? Michelin recommends working with someone who has undergone at least 150 hours of training, but cautions that massage should not be used as a substitute for veterinary care. Prices for pet massages should generally be along the lines of those seen for people massages, though they sometimes can run higher depending on where you live or if you're seeking out special services like hydrotherapy. Also, owners interested in saving some cash can learn basic pet massage techniques themselves, though they should consult some references such as instructional books, DVDs, and home study courses before actually giving it a try, and probably your veterinarian. Keep in mind that even with a little self-training and practice, getting a massage from you may not benefit your pet in the same way as a massage from a professional would. Ruttinger likens the comparison to getting a shoulder rub from your significant other rather than full-body massage from a massage therapist, though it's arguable that both types of scenarios are still appealing, whether it's you or your pet on the receiving end. Maybe it's best to sign up for all of the above. And how your pet can influence your love life. Men with adopted dogs, take note. A survey of pet owners reveals animals can influence who you date, according to Liz Langley at National Geographic. The saying, love me, love my dog, may have some basis in reality. A new study suggests that pets can influence how we perceive potential dates. Could your pet decide your future mate? Pets add some twists and turns to our lives, says study co-author Justin Garcia, an evolutionary biologist at the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University and scientific advisor for the dating website Match.com. In 2014, Match.com and the retailer PetSmart surveyed about 2,300 single pet owners in the U.S. who had registered on Match.com. Respondents answered questions such as, would you judge a date based on their reaction to your pets? And have you ever used a pet to attract a potential date? Garcia, along with the biological anthropologist Peter Gray and Helen Fisher, chief scientific advisor for Match.com, analyzed the survey results, which appeared recently in the journal Anthrozoos. Single guys who owned adopted dogs, congratulations, you are a chick magnet. Ladies in the survey thought that men with adopted pets were most attractive, with dogs being the hottest pet by a long shot. Rabbits, hamsters, and guinea pigs were the least. Women were also more likely than men to judge a date based on how that person reacted to their pet, with 553 women and 277 men saying this would make a difference. Garcia says this may be due to many women's focus on paternal care. Because humans are a cooperative breeding species, says Garcia, a man's treatment of a pet can signal whether they would be engaged with offspring and with family social duties, whether that means taking care of you or you and your children. The results also reflect the broader social trend of elevating pets from companions to family members, notes Shelley Volshi, co-author and biocultural anthropology graduate student at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. People are parenting their pets now, and so how we would expect a woman to behave based on her children's response to a date, we're seeing something similar happening with pets. The survey data backs up that cat owners were less likely than dog owners to judge a date based on their response to a pet or to think a pet says something about their owner's personality. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.